Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Welcome to the show, my friends. If you're new, this is the show you always needed. If you listen regularly, you already know that. This is the show that teaches you why you have to do what you're doing. Every one of you with a health concern that listens to terrestrial radio, that searches the YouTube, wants to understand what to do. But in my experience over 25 years, what it comes down to is compliance. And when somebody just tells you what to do, but you don't know why you're supposed to do it, you get lost along the way. Now, it's human nature to want the quick fix notion. It's human nature to just give it to me and I'll go out and do it. That's the way everybody starts. It's sort of a corporate mentality. But the reality is that midstream, less than midstream, if you don't know why you're doing it, if you don't know why you're suffering a little bit, you're not going to do it. So this is Straight Talk on Health, and this show is educational. The solutions are not so much about what to do as why to do it. What to do is out there. The what to do's are out there, and everybody's just repeating them in different words. But the why to do, well, that's not there. And the problem, if you don't know why you should do it and you don't really understand it, is that in the myriad of solutions that everybody's telling you they have for different types of problems, you won't know how to prioritize for you. And that's the concept. Straight Talk on Health is a radio show that asks you on health, that asks you to consider that getting to where you want to go for your health is like being lost in the forest. And there's lots of ways to the other side, but you're never going to find it if you don't develop that internal compass. And that's what education is about. So welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Today's show, muscle atrophy, what you can really do about it. Yeah, muscle atrophy. Two things that men are concerned with, muscle atrophy and sexual performance. And there's a lot of men out there that if you talk to them privately, they tell you things aren't right downstairs. In addition to which, those muscles are sagging. And those of us who were athletes way back when don't like it when we start getting those man breasts after the age of 50. Now, everybody in marketing is out there telling you that your favorite supplement from human growth hormone, deer velvet sprays to different forms of adrenal supports to testosterone supplements to amino acids that make neurotransmitters and this and that and the other thing, and just go down to your local GNC and you'll come out with all these miracle aids and make your breasts solid again like they used to be back when you were the prom king. You see, but it doesn't really happen that way. What really happens is by the time you're in your 50s, there's a whole bunch of things going on. And the difference is there's two of that for you and one of that for the other, meaning there is a mixture per person of the same variables. It just matters how each person differs in the combination of those variables. But nonetheless, after the age of 50, a bunch of these variables start stacking up. And you start to go, and here's a word, so write this one down. This is the first word for today. You start becoming catabolic. Catabolism. You study chemistry, the word is always catabolism versus anabolism. Are you anabolic or are you catabolic? And this goes right down to the cell physiology. It goes right down to core biochemistry. Words like that are legion in chemistry. If you take a fat and you break it down and use it and break it down to a ketone and use it for energy in the cell, that's called catabolism. You took the fat and you broke it down for energy. There's many, many cycles in the body, health cycles, that are catabolic. that involve breakdown. When you eat sugar, glucose, and it breaks down and you get adenosine triphosphate and your muscles contract, that's a catabolic process. You have to break something down to liberate energy. So it's not that catabolism is bad. At the same time, there's something called anabolism, meaning anabolic. And anabolic is when you grow stuff. So when you're eating a lot of amino acids and fats and you're working out and your muscles are growing, well, your body is into synthesis. When you're making hormones, when you're making all the precursors to your neurotransmitters, when you're doing all sorts of things where you're ingesting food, the food gets catabolized into basic building blocks, right? Amino acids, fatty acids, glucose, and then you build stuff out of it. You don't use it for energy. You build stuff out of it. You build muscles. You repair your skin. You build things. That's called anabolism. Now, here's the concept. This is so important. This is so right on your nose. No one ever looks at it. And that's why I do this show. To state the obvious that everybody overlooks because we're so busy with our electron microscopes and our blood tests. Here's what's at the tip of your nose. Each and every one of us, after the age of 50, so I'll use that just as where we're going to start. Each and every one of us, especially after the age of 50, tends to be going into catabolism, meaning in the overall of all the anabolic and catabolic processes in the body, in the overall, in the summation of it, most people are in breakdown. I want you to just meditate on that. Most people after 50 are in breakdown. And then you get to that point at 60, 65, 70, where your anabolic process, your growth processes, are so overwhelmed by your catabolic processes that somebody says, hey, you over there, grandpa, right? You don't get proofed anymore at the liquor store. You get to the point where all the breakdown cycles in the body have far exceeded all the buildup cycles in the body. We say catabolism has finally overwhelmed anabolism. If you're 60, if you're 70, if you're 80, this is the first thing you have to ask yourself. Am I catabolic or anabolic? Have I hit your doctors, what your doctors should be doing? If doctors really understood how to take care of their patients, what they would be doing is making relationships and watching their patient after the age of 50, especially after the age of 60, and determining if catabolism is starting to accelerate. And barely is there any evidence of an anabolic process in the body. You know, chemists hate lines of logic. The hard chemists don't like the way I might say these things because, you see, science isn't supposed to translate itself into common sense. Science was invented to translate itself into common sense. But you see, we can't protect the egos of our scientists if the public can understand what science is all about. And you see, if you don't think this is a big deal, please look again. What you know about what you know, your profession, so to speak, is political. Well, so is science. And one of the problems with science is, and I can tell you this from more than enough experience with it, is that things get complicated so the people who have mastered it can protect themselves. And it shouldn't be that way. And one classic example is anabolism and catabolism. If the liver does, say, 600 cycles, if your liver has about 600 different chemical pathways that you can study in basic biochemistry. And each and every one of those 600 pathways has a level of efficiency. And many of those pathways build things, and many of those pathways break things down. And health is a matter of building things and breaking things down. But, and here's the leap, and this is what people don't like, but you're going to love it because it's the truth. The sum total of all the anabolic and catabolic processes in your body determine whether you're aging or not. You know what rapid aging is? When you're 60, and you know, you kind of look pretty good. You can go to the 40-year high school reunion, 50-year high school reunion, and everyone knows who you are. if you're fortunate enough to still have a head of hair, you can look good enough so that people look at you and go, man, you have done it right. You really have. Or the other thing, where it's 60 people meet you that haven't seen you for 40 years and they don't recognize you. And you don't want to pull those wedding pictures out, because when you look at yourself at 18 or 20 or 25 and you look at yourself at 60, it makes you cry. There's no resemblance. When you're aging too fast, when you're burning out, when you're at 50, going to be burnt and old and feeble at 60 or 60 to 70, you're going catabolic. You're going into breakdown. So again, two terms, anabolic, catabolic. What your doctors should be doing is watching anabolism and catabolism and seeing if your balances are off. And you can tell based on the way people age. Now, it's really simple. All right. We're not going to talk about anabolism and catabolism of the liver, the kidneys. We're going to talk about the muscle because, of course, that's what you can see. You might have a 100-year-old liver, but if those muscles look good, no one knows. In human nature as such, well, we're concerned about the skin and the muscle tone, so let's stick to it. Muscle atrophy. Issue number one, gentlemen, after the age of 50, you better be exercising. And that exercise isn't about cardio. It's about exercising the muscles. Now, you guys are saying, well, tell me something I don't know, Medici. I'll tell you something you don't know. Most of you are exercising wrong. And most of you are exercising wrong because a couple of things come into play. First of all, a lot of little tidbits in today's show. Gentlemen and ladies, those of you with injuries to the joint, get this. Once you atrophy enough muscle, the stress to the joint exceeds the joint's ability to repair. When you walk in the park, when you walk the dog, when you climb a hill, when you lift stuff, when you garden, when you go to the gym, you do your Pilates, your yoga, you lift your weights in the garage, whatever you do. You go to Yellowstone over the summer and you hike or you run. Whatever you do, your joints are always breaking down. Well, you don't know that because you're fortunate enough not to have them hurt. Meaning joints break down and then joints repair. And in the balance of trade, notice that word I use, balance. In the balance of trade, breakdown and repair, you stay more on the side of repair, and thus you don't feel joint issues. Good, I hope that's you. Here's the point. Once you atrophy too much muscle, once the muscles disappear for all the reasons we're going to get into, and you don't do anything about it, you stress the joint. So one of the classic things you see is a 60-year-old runner. This runner, he's always run. He's been running since high school. He was a track star, and now he's 60, and every time he gets on the track, even though it's only twice a week, does those jogs, you can see these guys, they kind of have a balance, even though they may have an extra 50 pounds, or they may be absolutely cachexic, meaning fully catabolic. Runners tend to be catabolic. Why? Because they were skinny and light-muscled when they were 20, and now they're 60 or 70. Now they're not skinny anymore. Now they're into atrophy. Once your muscles have atrophied, the sport you play to stay in shape will tear your joints. And that's the person, and you're like this. There's someone in the audience like this. You've had that chronic injury that you just can't get rid of. You know how many people I know like this? Ankles. Knees, hips, low back, shoulders, wrists, elbows. You have this injury, and this injury simply doesn't go away. And you went everywhere to fix this injury, but it doesn't get fixed. And they told you you don't need a surgery, and they told you it's not really arthritis, and you've been to the chiropractor, you went to the massage therapist, you tried to do your own home remedies, of course you tried your nutritional supplementation, but it's been a year or two, and it is really hampering your game. Guess what? You're so catabolic that your muscles don't rebuild to the point where they can support the joint. You have to have muscularity to stabilize and protect your joints. And once you dip below the threshold, that injured joint, and you will ultimately injure it, will never heal. Do you know how many people I know like that? Now, after the age of 60, especially 70, what are most people doing? Starving. Most people after 60 or 70 are starving, especially after 70. Most people after 60 or 70 are not sleeping. If you're starving, meaning you're not digesting your food. Yeah, but I used to eat like this. I ate like this my whole life. And so why should it bother me now? Let me tell you why. If you're one of those people that doesn't think you're starving because you weren't starving 20 years ago and you haven't changed the way you eat, the reason you're starving now is you don't have any adrenaline, testosterone, growth hormone. I'm not being tongue-in-cheek here, guys. Dead serious. If you're analyzing yourself at 70 or 60 in reference to the way you were at 20 or 30 or 40, you're crazy. People hate to hear this. Our generations, right? We're not the millennials. If you're in your 50s, you're not a millennial. People today in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s even, don't want to hear, hey, listen, you're not 18 anymore. Especially in the holistic reign. In the holistic reign, the last thing people who pay for holistic health, vitamin, herb supplements, doctor's appointments, the last thing they want to hear from their healthcare provider is, you know, you're really not 30 years old anymore. It's the last thing, so no one wants to say it. But here's why it's so important to understand. Every mistake you made up to the age of 50, I'm being loose now, it could be 60, it could be 40, but every mistake you make metabolically in your body is compensated for by the hormonal system, testosterone, estrogen, human growth hormone, so on and so forth. Your big threes come out of your genitals and your adrenals, and the third is human growth hormone out of your brain. All your mistakes you're making at 20 or 30 or 40, you have compensation. When you're out of compensation at 50, that's when all your mistakes start to really count against you. So what does that mean? Lots of people over the age of especially 60 are going into muscle atrophy because they're starving. If you want to make yourself starve and go into atrophy long before that, go vegan or vegetarian. Not going to get into that one. Check some of my shows out on that. Also check out ketogenic existences. Just a little sideline. There's so much hard science behind ketogenic existences that eventually that will probably prevail. What the carbohydrate is doing to us, well, there needs to be a higher wisdom. And you know me, I'm not going to get dogmatic about any of this. Dogma is nonsense. Extremism is nonsense. But for the most part, if you really want to get into being a vegan or a vegetarian, if you've been a vegan or a vegetarian for 20, 30 years and now you're in your 50s, be careful. Really be careful with that because you can develop deficiencies that you can no longer compensate. But that aside, just digesting your food, you don't have the digestion you had when you were 50 years old or 60. If you're 80, here's another one. I see this all the time. She comes in. She's the nicest lady in the world. The grandkids, the whole thing. She's just done everything right. Lovely woman or gentleman. They sit in the chair, and when they get up, you pray they don't hit the floor. When they're in your office and they sit or stand, you're always sitting there watching, just ready to dart out and catch them before they hit the floor in your office. And they call that a balance problem. Yeah, you call it a balance problem. When you stand up and you can't get your footing, you call it a balance problem. It's not a balance problem. It's called muscle atrophy. It's not a balance problem. It's called you have no alignment because all your joints have become fibrotic. Oh, you're old. You're older than 70. Well, listen, balance, of course, balance is a big deal and it's this and it's that. First place you look to balance, or what you call a balance issue. Now, I'm not talking about if the room is spinning. I'm talking about when you stand up and you take two steps and you feel like you better have your hand on a guardrail. When you feel like you, when you go into the ladies' room or the men's room and you sit down on the seat, that on the way down you may fall on the floor, so they have to put those guardrails up in your house. That's what I mean by balance. Is it that kind of balance? Look to muscle atrophy. So, you're not digesting your food, and you're not sleeping. Right there, you can't regrow. And the lifestyle you had at the age of 40 or 50 or 60, your thinking can't be the cause of the problem, because it wasn't a problem then. And you're forgetting about at 70 or 80, you don't have any reserve energy. You know what one of the biggest reasons people die when they go into the hospital is? You really want to know? You really want to know the reason to get out of the hospital if you're in the hospital? You don't move anymore. Honestly, if you were smart enough, like I always tell you on this show, to take a percentage of your capital after you retire, take that nice big backyard and throw in a small hot tub, cold tub, small swimming pool, something you can easily and practically just dunk your body in and exercise in at whatever temperature you want, in the backyard where the garden is, where you can put your feet in the earth on a nice day like this morning, if you could just do that, you'd do so much. Slap on another 10 years of health just for that. Really, just do that. You go into the hospital. If you are, think of it. Those of you with grandparents, those of you who are in that age group, if you're already in muscle atrophy and you're out sick and in a hospital for a month, whatever little muscle you have is gone. That's when we start transporting you in the wheelchair. And it's not because you can't walk. It's because you got no muscles to walk with. So, you're 60 and you don't like the man breasts. You don't like the fact that the skin's sagging. Sagging skin. At least half the time, ladies, gentlemen, you know what sagging skin is? No muscle. It's not so much the skin that's sagging. It's there's no muscle there to puff out the skin. There's so much to this. So, whether for cosmetic reasons or for practical reasons at 60 or for life critical reasons when you're in your 80s, you got to get this concept down. Okay, so you've been listening and you're asking yourself, what do I do about it? And you know, this isn't the show where I'm going to give you the 2-for-1 special about what to do about it. Well, I already told you, start digesting your food. That can't be too complicated. And I've got 10 shows on the site, and I talk about this all the time. And if you're not familiar with the website, straighttalk.cc.com, not .com, if you're not familiar with this, get it anywhere you want. I don't care. I'm talking to the person that's looking for answers everywhere except the tip of their nose. Many of you are starving. There's number one. Now, sleep. Not going to talk much about sleep. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to lay down a law. If you listen to this show, you know, I was thinking of doing one of those. I did this my first 10, 12 shows. Have callers call in. And what I'm thinking of doing, I may do this perhaps, is have callers call in. And I know what's going to happen. If I have callers call in, 70% of those calls are going to be, "Hi, Dr. Medici, love your show. I've got toenail fungus. What do I do for it? I have muscle ache. What can I take for it?" I was thinking of doing this and then just telling everyone politely, "You're calling the wrong show." And that's not a politically correct thing to do. So I'm probably not going to do that. But you get my point here. Supplements and herbs are fantastic. I use them. I counsel my clients to use them. So never get me wrong. Premier Research Labs, incredible company. Dr. Marshall's company, just I couldn't say more nice things about the devotion that goes into making a great nutritional product. However, as always, don't call in to my show and ask me what herb you should take for your muscle atrophy. Because the first thing I'm going to ask you is, how's your sleep? And really, One of the reasons I don't do those kind of shows is if I did, we'd be talking about your sleep cycle for 1 hour. There are quick solutions, but you have to have the educational base. So here's my point to you listening to the show today, new or regular listeners. If you are not getting that hard 6, 7, 8 hours, if you are not closing your eyes and just when you wake up, you don't know what happened, if you're not doing that, forget about growing your muscles. It doesn't work. Now, there's a hard law. So without breaking down your sleep, without breaking down your digestion, if the food doesn't go in because you crave it, I don't mince words. If the food doesn't go down because you crave it, meaning your intuitive faculties are open, meaning like a pregnant woman, like a child, you chose that food because that food is talking to you. If it doesn't go down based on an intuitive faculty, if it doesn't disappear in your intestines instantaneously, you're missing the point. And when you hit the sack at night, you close your eyes, and when you wake up, it's 6 to 7 to 8 hours later, and you're bouncing out of bed. If you're not sleeping like that, you're not sleeping. So those of you who are listening to this show on muscle atrophy and saying, well, what should I do? Do that. Now, don't get me involved in other conversations. Do that. No, do that. Don't talk about the other things you could do. Do that. Here's number three. Bring down your insulin and bring down your blood sugar and understand the distinction between insulin and blood sugar. Yes, you can eat foods that don't raise the blood sugar, but they spike your insulin. Meat. Red meat is one of them. If you really eat too much red meat, your insulin goes up, but your blood sugar stays solid. That's just one of the side effects, we'll say, of eating red meat. Now, that's the tougher one to comprehend. I did lots of shows on diabetes. Look it up on YouTube. Check with other people. Bottom line, the amount of insulin based on your dietary choices and too much red meat, after you get to 70, 80 grams of complete protein a day, meaning all your essential amino acids in your protein choices. So don't talk about just doing the egg whites and missing the yolk and taking out half the known amino acids that are essential. No, I'm talking about a full 8 essential amino acids. I think there's even more than 8 that are essential. Good sources of high-quality protein at about 70, 80 grams. Yeah, there's some translation for your weight that's vague and not even correct. But one good meal a day, a meal and a half a day, 6, 7, 8 ounces of complete animal protein a day, or get it anywhere you want. I'll leave that to you. The point is, if you are amino acid deficient, you're not going to grow muscle. That's one. The other thing is, if in fact you're eating a diet, which could include too much red meat, and your insulin is spiking, your insulin will kill your testosterone. Now I'll talk in terms of what everybody kind of understands a little better. High blood sugar. Nobody out there, any of you out there, men with your testosterone, ladies, if you're looking at skin sagging, muscle atrophy, men, same thing. You have to get your blood sugar under control, which means 1 hour after a meal. And again, I do shows on this, but as far as your blood sugar is concerned, the tests you're getting every year from your local labs, from your local, are usually bogus. If you are depending on fasting blood glucose, if you've got the cheapo healthcare, and you are depending on blood glucose, fasting blood glucose, to determine whether or not you have a blood sugar issue, kiss that one goodbye. That is a ridiculous way to determine it. You at least have to have glycosylated hemoglobin done. The red blood cell is going to be the first cell in the body. Excuse me. The red blood cell is going to be the first cell in the body to know about high blood sugar because the red blood cell's in the blood and the blood sugar. Well, that's an assay of the sugar in the blood and the red blood cell is soaking in the blood. All right. So 1 hour after you eat all of your meals, you need to get a good grip on where your blood sugar is. That's how you tell. It's called a glucose tolerance test. You can give yourself your own homemade glucose tolerance test, and you should. That means you go to the drugstore, you get the AccuCheck, which is the little gizmo. You ask the pharmacist if he's not too busy poisoning other human beings. You ask the pharmacist to basically teach you how to work it, or the girl at the counter, or do it on YouTube. The diabetics are part of an international club now. They even have diabetes delivery services. It's easy to learn to use these gizmos. They cost little. Learn to use an AccuCheck. Get a relationship going between what you eat and what your blood sugar is an hour later. Why? You're going to be shocked to see that it's almost always well over 100. If it's over 110, you're doing it wrong, meaning you're eating wrong. Your blood sugar 1 hour after anything you eat should be under 100. It needs to be between 80 and 100. 110 tops, and probably that's too high. I guarantee you that's not reality. Do you know how many people aren't even aware of what I'm saying right now? And yet they get their fasting blood glucose done once or twice a year. It's under 100 and the doctor says you're fine. Nonsense, you're fine. You're running a pre-diabetic condition till you die. Lots of people die that are pre-diabetic. To live with glucose or and insulin too high over a period of years from age 50 to 80 or 90 is disease. But it's not diabetes. I'm going to leave that alone. But you're talking to me about muscle atrophy, the man boobs? And you're talking to me about lady sagging skin? You're talking to me about being 70 or 80 and every time you stand up you look like you're going to fall down? You're talking to me about balance issues that are really nothing but muscle atrophy and poor alignment? Well, I'm talking to you then about blood sugar. That's big. Blood sugar's huge. You've got to keep the blood sugar down, or what? The higher the blood glucose, the higher the insulin, the lower the testosterone. You will not grow blood. You will not grow muscles if the insulin is high. Ladies, I mean, look, this is straight off the press. I have women talk to me about this all the time, and even men. How many times either the woman or the man come in and go, you know, my testicles are shrinking? It happened to me last month. Another case like that. The lady says, listen, you know, I'm not going to say this around my husband, but his testicles are getting smaller. They're really about half the size they were. That's what you call someone running high insulin for too long. And that someone will be told very often they're not diabetic. They don't have a problem. Their fasting blood glucose is fine. Yeah, the glycosylated hemoglobin is up a little bit high, but you know, it's borderline, so keep an eye on it. Nonsense. You do a glucose tolerance test and you're going to find out lickety split quick that you are running your insulin and blood sugar way too high all day long. Case closed. So, muscle atrophy, what you can really do about it. Digest your food. Don't be protein deficient. Get real sleep. You know, I know there is a notion going around that 5 hours straight is very good. Listen, let's get this one straight. This is straight talk. 5 hours isn't good enough for the vast percentages of people. It's not. At 5 hours, well, yeah, it's better than 4.5 or 4, right? Have you noticed that 5 hour mark allows you to get through the day without feeling like you're carrying 150 pounds. So there is something about 5 straight hours. Agreed. But don't talk to me about getting anabolic. Anabolic meaning you're 50 and when you're 55, you'll look and feel younger than when you were 40. You're 75 years old and you look and feel younger than you did when you were 50. You're not doing that on 5 straight. You have to bring your sleep to the point where you sleep deep. Dead sleep. You don't know where you are, and when you wake up, you pop up like you can't stay in bed. Like if someone said sleep another hour, you'd be like, I can't stay in bed anymore. I'm filled. My sleep cup is filled to the brim. Done deal. All right. So listen to what I'm saying then to you. By the way, if you're new to the show and just listening on radio, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I broadcast every Saturday morning, 10 to 11 a.m. on K-Bright, 740 a.m., great Christian radio station. Straight talk, as in understand the principles, and then you can apply the nutritional protocols. So sleep. Rewrite your definition of sleep. Anabolic sleep. Anabolic digestion. Levels in the blood sugar that will promote the increase in testosterone, human growth hormone, estrogen, especially the estradiol, so on and so forth. Bring up your reserve by sleeping. Bring up your reserve by eating. Then your reserve can build because you don't need to burn it out on the fact that you're deficient with your sleep and with your digestion. Look at what you can do with a couple of principles. Do you realize how different that is than saying, oh yes, your muscle atrophy issues. Are you sleeping? Well, you know, do better there. Are you eating well? Oh, you gave up sugar? Fantastic. Keep trying it, Charlie. No, I'm not saying that. Listen, I didn't get this way because I wanted to. I really didn't. I have a different kind of a show. And it's been birthed with a lot of hard work. I didn't get this way because I wanted to. I got this way because I did everything else and I don't see results consistently. And those of you who listen to the show regularly, that's why you do. Because you're not going to listen to these quick fix solutions that in the end fail most people. Not that they don't help, but they fail. Health is health, meaning if you almost get healthy, you're not healthy. Age is unforgiving in the sense that if you're dealing with something until you really dealt with it, you still got it. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the muscle itself. If you're going to train that muscle, a couple of things you have to understand. I put pictures on the show, picture six especially, that's straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk.cc, two T's. Get on the website if you can. When you get home, get on the website so you can see the pictures. Muscles are like rope. If you take a thick rope, that rope has individual rope fibers, right? Okay, that's easy to understand. And those individual fibers are muscle fibers. Muscles are made like that. Muscles are bundles of these thin little fibers. Here's the thing. Everyone's born with a different number of fibers. So if you're a gorilla, you're born with a lot more fibers than if you're a cheetah. If you're long and slender, or your natural metabolism is to not have big muscles, right? That's like a dosha thing. Vata, pitta, kapha. Are you Mike Tyson or are you Twiggy? Are you Gwyneth Paltrow or are you Sophia Loren? Vata, pitta, kapha. Words from Vedic medicine that really are so practical and apply, and they're so commonsensical. If you're big like Mike Tyson or Sophia Loren, you're more kapha. That means you have more muscle fiber. If you have more muscle fibers, those individual fibers, you have 10 and somebody else has 2. Now, what you're born with is what you die with. So whoever you are, when you want to start working out, because you need to deal with your muscle atrophy, understand you're not going to change. You're not going to take a Vata, someone very light. You're not going to turn a cheetah into a lion. You're not going to turn a flyweight boxer into a Mike Tyson. You got to love the build you have. But now here's the point. Here's the point. If you are slight, Vata-esque, and you're at the age of 70 or 60, or you've got vegan or vegetarian, you don't have enough muscle fibers that you were born with. You weren't even born with enough. And now the ones you have atrophied. Now, what does that mean? What is muscle atrophy? Since you don't lose the number of fibers, Again, if you're looking at the pictures, this is more clear. But the number of fibers is the number of fibers. If you haven't moved a day of your life since you were 12 years old, you have the same number of fibers you did at 12 as you do at 70. So what's muscle atrophy then? The thickness of each fiber can change dramatically. The thickness of each fiber. Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't become Arnold by increasing the number of muscle fibers. He increased the thickness of each muscle fiber. The thickness. And there are only so many Schwarzeneggers, just as there are only so many people, you know that other type, they never gain any weight, they eat everything they want, but they never quite have lots of muscle. It's the greyhound versus the lion. It's the cheetah versus the gorilla. Now, here's the point. How do you thicken? Now, you got to get this. Medici's setting you up here. What you want when you have muscle atrophy is an increase in the thickness of the muscle fibers. This is called strength training. You laugh. Come on, tell me something I don't know. I was captain of the football team. I'll tell you something you don't know. All the people that go out there and do the Pilates class and do the yoga class and do their curves workout and all this stuff, that's what I have for you if you're in muscle atrophy. Because those types of exercise don't increase the thickness of the muscle fiber. Right? I told you this would be the show where we were going to talk about what's right on the tip of your nose that you can't see. How many people? Well, it's the girl thing. It's the girl thing. What are you going to do? Send grandma to Equinox and have some sports trainer who's 14 or 18 years old? Give her a 400-pound. You know, you don't go to Equinox if you're 70 years old. I'm in all the gyms. I'm a gym guy. I don't see anyone in any of these gyms over the age of 60. I never see anyone at 80. They're not there. Some of them are there, but by and large, all these gyms, LA Fitness, 24-Hour Fitness, Equinox, YMCA, no. You don't see anybody there that's supposed to be there. Where are they? Well, they go to a Pilates class or a yoga class. Or they do a little weight training in the house, but they don't want to hurt themselves, so they make sure those weights are about as heavy as a cell phone. Well, we want to give grandma a weight set or grandpa, and we want to make sure they don't get hurt, so we give them very light weight, and they move it 10 times, and that's better than nothing because all they're doing is sitting in the chair eating microwave dinner. So we give them these weights, and we ensure ourselves happily, therefore, that they're not going to get hurt. Forget it. It doesn't work. If you're 60 or 70 or 80 and you need to do something about sagging breasts, sagging skin, you know your muscles are atrophying, you know you're in catabolism, not anabolism anymore, you've burnt out your reserve, you're not digesting your food, you're not sleeping, fix all those things. That's why you listen to my show. Now, I want you to go get a sports trainer. Yeah, join one of the gyms. LA Fitness is a great place. Go to their executive club. Costs you a little more and you get a towel to take a shower with. Pay somebody for a month or two to build you for strength. Tell them I said it. Strength. That's why you pay a sports trainer, so you don't hurt yourself and yet you can increase. Now here's the science. The thickness of the muscle fiber. Repetitive lightweight exercises do not increase the thickness of the muscle fiber. The cost of not increasing the thickness of the muscle fiber is you never address the muscle atrophy. The muscles will always be atrophied because the thickness of each fiber isn't thick enough. That means sagging skin. That means the joint that you can't fix, that the orthopedist is saying, well, Charlie, you know, you're a little young to do a joint replacement, but look, I'm a nice guy and I love you. And why don't you just save yourself the problem and do it now because you're going to need to do it in 10 years. You can tell, look, I've seen these x-rays. You go to the orthopedist, doesn't want to quite do a joint replacement because this joint of yours, it's hurting, that hasn't had any success at any of these physical therapies because no one's listening to what I'm saying. Okay. Those stupid rubber band exercises, that doesn't increase the thickness of the muscle fiber. And so you keep failing physical therapy, you failed the chiropractic therapy, you failed your own therapy, and you go back to the surgeon and he's looking for a problem and he can't find one, but it doesn't look quite perfect. And he figures, look, at this rate, it's got to be the joint. Let's just replace the joint and do it now, because if we do it in 10 years, well, we could have complications. Do you know how many surgeries and joints are replaced every single week with that line of logic? You would be amazed. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're driving, just tuned into the radio show. This is Straight Talk on Health every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. on 740 a.m. KBright. Listen to my show. Stay ahead of the curve. Health today is a matter of getting in the know. If you're not in the know, you're going to get hurt. Hate to do that kind of thing. I wasn't even going to talk like that 10 years ago. But now it's getting ridiculous. You look at our 18-year-olds today, I don't know what's going on. They don't have any muscles. They've lost their bone structure. I don't see those big, wide faces anymore. Where is the bone structure? Oh, they're all getting breastfed. We figured out Dr. Spock made a mistake, right? Those of us born in the 50s and the 60s, we didn't get breastfed. Yeah, we all know it's a mistake. Moms breastfeed 3 years now. But guess what? There's nothing in the milk but pesticides. You got to get health and you got to get in the know. This is the show to be in the know. So, we're talking about exercise. We're talking about making the individual muscle fibers thicker. Strength training, we're going to call it, that no one does because it's dangerous. You could hurt yourself. Get a sports trainer. Get a sports trainer. I'm going to leave it at that because I got other things to talk about in the show today. Cross training is another thing. So strength training must be part of it. You got to cross train. Why? Because you have to build that muscle for endurance. Now, what do I mean? Build the muscle for endurance. It means the muscle, just think of the muscle cell like a grape. And inside the grape, there's sugar, glycogen stores. Your muscles, how many of you athletes, right? If you're gonna really have energy for an event and you eat a steak and eggs, you ever notice how you wished you had that carb? I'm like that. I gotta have a carb. Best time to do your carbs is before you work out. That's when you do your carbs. Those carbs don't make fat, and the insulin and glucose spikes and the rest of it from those quick fix sugars that you eat, you're not going to get them because you're burning that sugar immediately for the muscles. Muscles are smart. They like two forms of energy. Now, I got to make a distinction here. This is super important. Put on your beanies and get this one straight. The muscle at rest has nothing to do with the muscle when you exercise. You want to know something astounding? Then this is hard. Look, when I tell you this stuff, this is right out of the chemistry texts. The fuel, the energy your muscles want to burn at rest are ketones, fats. Your muscles really like to burn fatty acids, changed to ketones in the liver and sent to the cells. And then the ketones go right into the Krebs cycle. They get broken down acyl-CoA to acetyl-CoA, and it goes right into the Krebs cycle, and you feel it in energy. That's what ketogenic is all about. And that's hard science, and that's good science. And this is why you're going to see, over this next decade, you will see the ketogenic diet. It's not going to be a trend anymore. It's going to be part of our understanding of what's going on. But how many of you, when you work out, when you really got to bear down and just move your body, can't cut it unless you have a carb? That's because the muscles during intense exercise have nothing to do with the muscles at rest. The muscles have intense exercise, want sugar immediately. And they're going to take it from two places. One is the blood, and the other one is inside the muscle cell are glycogen, sugar reserves. It doesn't want fat. And it certainly doesn't want to break down your proteins to amino acids and then throw the amino acids into the Krebs cycle, which it can easily do to make energy. It doesn't want to do that. So when you're in the zone, so to speak, as an athlete, all us athletes know that feeling. Like when you just feel like you're 20 years younger. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. And almost everybody, if you knew it once, you can know it again. It's a great feeling to have that day when the sun shines and the temperature's just right, like today, where you just feel like you can train and train and train and you're 65 or 70 years old. Yeah, those people are out there. I know who they are. Someday I'll be one of them. But my point is, it's a great feeling and you deserve that feeling. For you to have that experience, you got to have sugar in your blood. Now, here's more of the science. As you do that more and more, whether you're moving heavyweight around at a fast rate or whether you're sprinting up a hill, here's the science part. Over time, the muscle cells increase the size of their glycogen storage. The muscles learn to store much more sugar because you're going to need it on rapid demand. So what you're feeling after a week will change 6 months later. 6 months later, if you've stuck with it and done it correctly, you've done two things. One, you've trained for strength, so your individual fibers are larger. And if you don't know how to do this without getting hurt, go get a sports trainer. There's an art to that that I'm not getting into right now. I want to cover the big picture. And then the second thing is you got to cross train so that you really get tired. Like the muscles are out of glucose. Like the muscles are out of oxygen. You got to cross train because the muscle will compensate the deficit over time. In one way, in regard to sugar, which, as I said, is what the muscle wants when you're moving your body, to grow your muscle tissue. One thing the muscle will do is increase its glycogen storage chambers. Inside the muscle cell, the amount of storage of glycogen. You had one chest of drawers. You can have five chests of drawers in the muscle cell now, so that for the first hour, which is all you need, you can basically just throw down the glycogen in the muscle or some of the sugar in the blood. That's how good it can get. So, carb it up, my friends. Carb it up before you work out. But what about the days you're not working out? What about the days you're resting? The days you're resting, you ever hit the track and you know you slept? You ever hit the weight room and you know you slept and you feel pretty good, but you just don't feel like you have it in your muscles and some dumb trainer is there going, work harder. That's stupid. You have to have a sense of the amount of time it takes your muscles to repair. Because when you're exercising for strength or cardio, your muscles' fibers will tear. As they tear, those peptide chains will get broken down to individual amino acids, and that has to get flushed out of the body through a whole metabolic cycle that occurs largely in the liver and then goes to urea and blah, 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 and I won't get into it, but the point is, when you're exercising, you got to repair and give yourself the time to repair, which, of course, is food and sleep-oriented. And you got to find some balance there so that you don't break down muscle, which you do when you're trying to grow it. To grow muscle often means you're breaking muscle down. Sounds counterintuitive, but it's not. If you don't give yourself on the in-between enough time to regrow, then you stay catabolic. This is called the no pain, no gain myth. This is called overtraining. This is called you're not 18 anymore. You know, when I was 18, I could work out every day of the week and just be fine. I could run a marathon and then take a day off and go out and run 12 miles for fun. And lots of people, you think I'm kidding. You think you don't need to hear this. You know, you're sitting there and you're nodding your head because you know this. I'm telling you, you don't. You don't know it. It's almost impossible not to reference your experience to when you were 18 or 20 or 30 or even 10 years ago. But I could do this when I was 40. Yeah, but you're 55. You've gone through some changes, have you noticed? People don't want to do that. It's understandable, but they don't. And this is why they stay catabolic. They don't give themselves enough time to repair. But assuming you do, one, you're going to increase the amount of sugar storage in the muscle cell. Two, you're going to increase the thickness of your muscle fibers. Three, in your relaxation regeneration phase, the food you eat, the sleep you get, the regulation of your insulin are all going to ensure you that your testosterone and growth hormone are going to go up and your insulin is going to go down and start to regulate correctly, or you're not going to get what you want. What a show. Where are you going to hear a show like this? Anybody? You're not going to hear a show like this. And pat yourself on the back if you're listening, because lots of people aren't going to listen to the show because they think they can just do it off the supplement or the herb. And I'm never going to stop saying the supplements and herbs are great, but if you don't understand the kinds of things I'm saying, forget it. You will not get there. All right, let's keep going, because if you're on the website, you're coming for everything they said you couldn't have. Those of you who listen to the show and are smart enough to get on the website regularly, I always put this, I got it on picture 12 today. There's this black wolf coming down the hill. A beautiful black wolf. It looks like a pit bull, but it's a wolf. And it says, I'm coming for everything they said I couldn't have. I just love that. I just love that. All right, are you catabolic? Are you anabolic? I'm looking for you to come into my office and go from catabolism to anabolism. You got your pep back. You got your step back. You got your girl back. You got your man boy look back. My God, I can't believe it. I just got the signal from Joel here. It's 10:57. Where does it go? 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Get on the website. Give that number a call if you're lost and need counsel. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.